Oh God, one more podcast?
Hey everyone, welcome. This is a very special episode, or whatever you want to call it, for Desi Standard Time. I am one of your hosts, Maz Khan. Today, I'm very, very excited. As you guys know, this season, we've been taking a deep dive into all things Pakistan, whether it's art, cinema, music. And today, we're actually chatting with Lahore-based art director and dreamer, Hashim Ali. Hashim, welcome. It's such a pleasure and honor to have you on board.
Thank you for actually having me on board and, you know, talking to me.
Absolutely. No, I mean, you're such a big name and you've made such a, I think, dent already in such a short amount of time in Pakistan's art and culture scene. And, you know, it's just great to have someone from the source, really, because, you know, we're based in the U.S. and although we're both Pakistani, both of us are, as hosts of the show, it's great to hear from someone who's back in the homeland and experiencing it firsthand, because I think there's a lot of issues and a lot of problems that as an artist and as a creative director, you feel you come across. And so that's really what we're going to be talking about today. This season, we've really kind of explored that. And I think that we've seen a lot of what, you know, the media industries in Pakistan kind of have to deal with. So why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself? What's your background? How did you get into what you're doing now? And yeah, just introduce yourself.
So so it's very interesting because my degree, like education, actually is in graphic design. So I studied graphic design and I but I always liked art. And I remember when I was, I think 12, 13, I was a huge fan of Harry Potter. Like I was massive fan of Harry Potter and then just fantasies in general and Disney. And I always used to wonder that how do they make these things? Like how do they create these worlds? And when I was literally a child, I used to think yes, sab kuch exist karta hai, and you know, that's how things are. Right. But then, you know, as I was growing up, I was a huge fan of Tim Burton. And then I saw Corpse Bride and the making of Corpse Bride and how they literally create these worlds and these right. characters and what's animation. And I just got really interested in that. And I used to live in Rome. So I studied in Rome. My teenage was spent there. So when I came back to Pakistan, I always was like, hey, you know, if people can do this in the West, why can't we do this in Pakistan? Like, I could not understand it because obviously I was naive. I was like, achha, pata nahi, sab kuch hi ho sakta hai. You know, because first world country, third world country, bahut problem hoti hai. But I think luckily what happened was that I had such a good, strong support system, not only from my family, but also the kind of people that I was surrounded with, and especially my teachers from Rome, who kind of push you towards doing what you want to do. So when I went to NCA, I actually chose visual communication design because that degree kind of taught us how to communicate visually. So not just, you know, one medium. And I was a very curious kid, so I did not know what I wanted to do. And from there, hook and crook, you know, I did graphic design jobs. I started working as a creative director somewhere. But then slowly, I just really found this thing very intriguing that, you know, I read something, I want to create that. And how do I create this world? And at that time, the fashion industry of Pakistan was booming. And it still is, by the way. It's massive. And they had the money. So they wanted to invest in people who could create visuals. I met photographers, were young photographers. I met an amazing makeup artist, Saima Rashid Breckreder. She's married to a Belgian or Belgianese guy or Belgium or whatever.
Belgian,
So she's married to him. Yeah, so she lives there. So she used to come to Pakistan to do shoots. So I met her on a shoot and very randomly, and she wanted to work on different campaigns. And then she knew what an art director was. So, you know, even at the start, when I was going to do fashion shoots, people did not know what an art director was. They're like, wo kya karte hai? Aapki zarurat kyun hai? Mujhe aap background banate hai? Aap kya karte hai? You know, there was no concept of creative direction. But just surrounding myself with the right people in the fashion industry. And then, you know, it just kind of went from one to another. And there were really dark times when, you know, you don't get paid. People don't understand what you do, what it is. For them, it's just like maybe making a set or just backdrop. And there was no respect for art directors. I still think there's a huge, huge gap there which needs to be filled. But, you know, it's slowly and surely getting there. Because one beautiful thing about Pakistan, which I realized, was that I can easily travel abroad and I can live, you know, somewhere in a first world country. But then again, 50,000 people would be wanting to do the same thing that I am doing. But in Pakistan, there's literally nobody. So when you do something, you kind of you know, you become your own thing within like 3-4 years. So I, contrary to whatever people believe, but Pakistan is a is an amazing place for creative people. I've seen new careers being born, new paths being carved by people, new very different things happening worldwide shayad ho bhi na rahe ho, because look, yahan pe ye ki you're unfortunately, because our labor is cheaper, we do not have the, you know, our you know, average wage is very less. People, there are a lot of people who want to work, so you can easily do a lot of things that you want to do as a creative person that you're unable to do. And Pakistan mein ye bhi hai ki, you know, you everything's readily available as well. So so there are obviously mushkil cheezein bhi hain, but there are also really easy things. But as a creative, I've never found it difficult to kind of get somewhere in Pakistan. I think it's difficult initially. You just need to have very thick skin where people are telling you, we don't need you because you're fine. It's okay. We don't need you. But once you get there, you actually realize that it's very, very easy.
Right. So I think that you've touched on a couple of interesting things here. So one is, I think the idea that there's no opportunities in Pakistan. And I totally agree with you. I think that there's so many opportunities in Pakistan because there aren't as many people creating, and there aren't as many people kind of trailblazing, so to speak. And I think that's one thing that you've really taken on, right? You, like you said, people didn't really know what art direction was in Pakistan. That whole concept of someone creating an image, you know, in life from something that's like a script, perhaps. It's something that's so like, you know, like, oh, shouldn't that be the director's job or something like that? And there's, no, there's an actual visionary kind of behind the scenes here who's putting that all together. So,
yeah, so basically art direction existed and exists. I would be wrong if I say it didn't, but it did not exist in fashion. It existed in your television commercials and your films, but it was never, it wasn't a field that was respected, you know? So it was something where you're just like, ha, to art director, ha, aakhir mein le lenge, you know, he's just going to bring five props, he's going to do this. But yes, but now I think in the last 10 years or 6 years, I've seen people really respect art direction. Like they want to spend on an art director. They want to talk to the art director before they even talk to, you know, your director of photography, because they're like, for us, an art director and a production designer is important because they are the ones who are going to create our visual. And it really makes a huge difference if you have a good art director or a bad art director on board. Okay. So I think that thing is kind of, it was there, but in fashion, it didn't exist. So in fashion, people have started realizing that, you know, now I was just talking to somebody else the other day and I was like, it's really funny that now people think that without an art director, we can't do a shoot, but pehle hota tha.
Yeah, I mean, but that's how it's changed, right? And I think that you probably have a big part in that because you've worked with some of the biggest fashion designers in Pakistan, right? Suffuse, Jean, Republic, and so many others. Tell us more about that. So I think that was actually where I wanted to go with this. So you brought the segue in perfectly. What took you into fashion? Did you see that kind of need for art direction in the fashion space? And then you kind of, you know, worked your way into it, or did someone else kind of approach you and bring you in and see your vision?
So Maz, to be very honest, I have never planned anything in my life. I don't even know what I'm going to do after this interview. I don't know things. And I'm a really, really I'm really bad at planning and goals. And, you know, I'm not a business person. I'm just like, I just do things what I like to do.
This podcast
So this is exactly how I started off. I was working somewhere. I was, to be very honest, I was making denim. I was designing denim for this company called US Apparel in Pakistan. And we used to make denim for Levi's and Zara and H&M. So I was in the research and development section of there. But one of my friends who was with me in college, she approached me and she's like, oh, I remember you used to direct plays and I remember that you were into theater. So I'm doing a film with this massive director in Pakistan. And, you know, so he's making his first film. So do you want to help us with the styling or the costume design of their project? I was like, I'm doing a full-time job. I don't think if I can. She's like, oh, why don't you come and meet me? So I met her and the writer was there and the writer's like, Dilchara. I was like, yes, but I don't know how I'll manage. He's like, haan keh do, kaam ho jayega. You know, that literally became the motto for my life. And he's like, just start, just do it. Ho jayega. Nahin hoga to nahin hoga. Karke to dekho. Try to karo. So I just randomly said okay to a film, like a full-fledged film project. I was on a 9-to-never job. And I just had a great boss who understood everything and he let me do stuff. But the interesting thing was the film was mostly shot at night. So in the morning, I would be at my work and shaam ko main office se nikalta tha and I would go to the set. I would have my stuff ready. We'll do the film. So it was an amazing experience. So वहाँ पे I met Saima, who was working as the spokesperson for L'Oreal Paris in Pakistan. And okay. she basically said that, oh, we have this amazing, amazing campaign coming up with like Disney princesses or something. And I love Disney. I'm a huge Disney fan.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, great. I'm going to do this. So we from there, I just did a Disney princess campaign. That was my first fashion campaign.
Okay.
And from there, you know, things started kind of started happening because then we formed this tiny team. It was me, Saima, and Ali Hassan, this great photographer in Pakistan. And, yeah. you know, he was also young and new and fresh. So we all had these great ideas. So we'd go together to clients and be like, oh, you know, you need us, you know, or you need this team. You need the difference you have when you have people who will make an image for you. So right. I think from there, I kept on working for, I think, 2 years straight. I left my job. I started doing these small projects. Unpaid, paid projects. And then from there, slowly people started realizing that, you know, we need somebody to do that. Because what actually happened was that one of my clients, Republic Women's Wear, they basically wanted to shoot in Russia. And they were looking at a palace in Russia to shoot at. And us time pe Russia ke visa ki bahut problem. It's very complicated to get a Russian visa because they have so many different things. So unki wo cheeze line up nahi ho rahi thi. So they asked me, can you make the interior of a palace in Pakistan for us? I was like, no problem. You know, I was like, sure, let's try. Kya hoga? It looked bad. What can happen? Yeah. And we did it and we created it. So it turned out so real that people actually thought we went abroad and we shot it there.
Wow.
And from there, I'd been doing this for a long time. I'd been creating like Greek streets and this and that in Pakistan, but people never realized it, that it's a set. But right. because there was so obviously with Pakistani models and a Pakistani brand, and they saw the BTS and they saw that, oh, it's just a set and it's done in Pakistan. That's right. when people started realizing you can literally create anything in Pakistan.
You can create anything.
So I think that was the point where people actually said, oh, to this day, they relate me to that shoot. But I'm like, you know, I've done 20,000 shoots before that. But, you know, so I think that's the one that kind of started that thing where people started realizing, haan, kuch ho sakta hai, kar sakte hain kuch.
That's how you blaze a trail, right? I think that's how you set a trend. That's how you kind of open people's eyes. And that's a crazy story. I mean, if you think about it, those palaces back in Moscow, and I've been to Russia.
Yeah.
They're crazy. I mean, these are centuries old architecture and like amazing, basically places of worship or places of living. And you created that from scratch, basically, in Pakistan, which has a very different kind of aesthetic.
But you see, what I don't get is that, you know, when Hollywood makes a film or Bollywood makes a film and they create an interior of, I don't know, like Alexandria or something, and we're like, oh, haan, wo to kar sakte. But I'm always of the thing that to Pakistan kyun nahi kar sakta.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing. It's just money, right?
It's interesting.
It's literally just money. And Pakistan has way more money than a lot of other people in the world. And, that's you know, because true. Unfortunately, we have a lot of corruption. So people do save up a lot of money. So, you know, there is a lot of money in Pakistan.
There's
and they do invest. They just need to know that, you know, where we're investing, we're going to get an image out that is. So people are scared, basically.
Right.
So when they saw that, they have started investing now. And you know, it's my dream to see that a Pakistani film is made that can, you know, you don't say, oh, you're Hollywood lag rahi hai ya Bollywood lag rahi. You say it looks Pakistani.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
it has that grandeur that were the Mughals and the dynasties before them, the Gupta dynasties. And, you know, we had so many people. Why did Alexander come to this area and died here rather than anywhere else in the world? You know, why was everybody trying to lootify India and Pakistan, this region? Because we had something. But we've lost it because we don't think we had anything. So, you know, so I genuinely just want that era of beauty and that era of, you know, insane architecture and insane arts that everywhere else in the world, things were taken from this area and taken abroad to kind of just come back.
I agree.
And for that, we need to realize that, you know, it's the same thing. We are us. We were always this. But we don't, because, you know, we've been colonized so beautifully.
Right, right. It's all about the colonizers that have ruined everything.
It's true.
And Pakistan does have this kind of, I don't want to call it middle child syndrome, but it's something where we feel almost inferior, or we have in years past.
We do.
And, you know, certainly you see how far Bollywood has gone since, you know, partition. Lollywood kind of, you know, stays in the back a little bit. And we're starting to see a little bit better production. We're starting to see a lot. I remember when Bade Had Love first came out a couple years back.
Yeah.
And in the US, it was a huge kind of, first of all, we couldn't watch it. It took forever to figure out how to watch this movie.
Yeah.
But because it just doesn't, they don't release it anywhere. There's no way to distribute it.
Mm.
But we're seeing the songs on YouTube And for the first time, I think, and especially in my experience, and maybe I'm wrong, but a song didn't look like it came from a Pakistani movie. It looked like the movies from Hollywood, the movies from Bollywood that we're used to seeing with these awesome production designs, awesome sets, incredible kind of camera work. And I was like, wow, this is, for the first time, finally, I'm seeing this out of Pakistan, which is sad. It's 2018. Technology has come a long, long ways, even back in 2000, and we're only seeing it now. So,
because it's very interesting that most of the people freelance from Pakistan for films in Hollywood, for films in Bollywood, we have people who, and what my issue, to be very honest, I'll be very vocal about it, is the fact that a lot of the creative people who are from Pakistan, their first instinct is to leave Pakistan and be like, main Canada shift ho jaun, ya main America shift ho jaun, because we have better opportunities. But I'm like, my boss actually said this to me, and I was also the same thing. I wanted to shift to New York. I wanted to be an actor. I wanted to study in Tisch. I was like, I'm going to go there. I'm going to be an actor. I'm going to live in a small apartment. I'm going to have that life. I'm, you know, like a Netflix TV show. But, you know, like, I wanted all of that. But then my boss, he actually asked me, I think I was just out of college. I think I was like 24, 25. And he said to me that, what's your future plan? And I said, oh, this is my plan. You know, and he just said, please don't take it the wrong way. And don't think I'm being mean. But Hashim, to be honest, if you haven't made a name for yourself in Pakistan, where you literally have like five people doing what you want to do, how do you expect to make a name for yourself in New York, where the entire creativity of the world goes to make a name for themselves?
Right.
And I was like, he's not wrong. You know, it's the bitchiest, most honest advice anybody has ever given me.
Yeah.
And I think I stuck around. And I think, honestly speaking, people say, oh, you've done this. I literally think I have done nothing. There are people far better than me. There are people far better equipped than me, but simply they just do not stick around. They move, and then, you know, you move to another country and you're literally doing, I feel the creative people, they're literally doing jobs which they shouldn't be doing. They should actually have so much talent.
Yeah.
Or yahan baith ke bhi, you're making graphics for movies that are going to be released in America. Why can't you do this for your own country? Why can't you make a movie for your own country? It is going to be hard. People are going to, because there are no people who are willing to invest, but if you make them believe that you can, they will.
Right, right. I think we're starting to see that movement. So we have spoken with some of the musicians in Pakistan. You know, we had some people from Coke Studio, especially, who are on, and they kind of cited these same concerns. And it's usually about the money, right? It always kind of boils
down. It is the money.
Because people have to survive at the end of the day, right? And even if you're creative or not, you have to eat. You can't just, you know, remain hungry. Mm. So a lot of it does come down to money. But I think you brought up a really great point. Again, you're competing against the world.
It's a mindset.
It's a mindset. No, exactly.
No, but it's a mindset, because if you think about it, is that if I am in Pakistan, right, the client is not going to give me money without me proving myself, right? And nobody's going to do that in the world, right? But the thing is that in Pakistan, what happens is that I do five projects for free. My sixth project is somebody who's willing to invest a very tiny amount. And my eighth project is going to be somebody who'll be like, aapko jo dil chahe aap karein, because we love your work.
Right.
And because literally there's nobody else. Like, how many animators in Pakistan can you name?
Right.
No one. You know, how many, like, when people say you're one of the few art directors, I'm like, because there's nobody else who wants to do it. You know, there's it is like, literally, you're saying that, you know, there's a competition between four people. Like, how can there be a competition? But there's four separate people. We literally have like five art directors in fashion, to be very honest. So, you know, so wo ek dilemma, ek jo aapke ek mindset hai na, ke nahi main, Pakistan mein kuch hai nahi. That's the problem. Money is not even the problem. Like, paisa aa jayega. Paisa zyada aata hai bahir ke nisbat. But it's just this thing that's been engraved in our heads by, I don't know who, maybe the colonizers or whoever, that Pakistan has nothing. But it actually has so much to offer. Why did the entire world come here and try to conquer it so many times?
Right. Very true. Very true. Okay. So, that that's great to hear. I want to shift tones just a little bit. So tell me about little bit about the different hats you wear. So you've done art direction, obviously, and it seems to be your kind of main focus, but you've also done production design. It seems like you've done set design. Which of these do you enjoy the most? What's the differences and the nuances, I guess, between these different positions? Or in your experience, what are the differences when you're doing them from your side?
So I personally enjoy production design the most, because in that I have the most control, and I can, you know, it's also something where you're not only designing just a certain area of something, you're actually doing the entire thing. So you're literally responsible for the entire visual of a campaign or of a television commercial or a film. So you're looking at the light design, you're suggesting light design, you're suggesting costume color paletting, or certain eras that you're looking at, you're looking at the overall design of the thing, the visual design of the thing. Art direction is something obviously which comes directly under production design. It's also a term which is very easily replaceable in Pakistan. So it's always shifted between production design, art director. People don't know the difference. Okay. So usually an art director is doing what the production designer essentially does. Set design is literally somebody who designs the set. I do it very, like I design the sets anyways for stuff that I need to design them for, but I've never just done a set design in that set. So I usually just do production design and art direction with that. Because I don't know, it's something which I enjoy more.
Sure. That makes sense. Okay. So tell me a little bit about also like the challenges that you kind of face in these different roles. Like, do you think that there's one, I mean, you've definitely talked about like some of the things that you've obviously dealt with, but is there something that maybe provides a very unique challenge in Pakistan? It seems like you're getting whatever you want if you just, you know, put the time and effort in and you kind of
So there are a lot of challenges that we have to face. First of all, we have to be very we have to be extremely sensitive because people are very sensitive in Pakistan. So you have to be very careful because sometimes a certain visual might not work for people because it offends them. Because everybody's idea of right is very different because of the extreme difference in mindsets. Mm-hmm. So we have to be especially careful with religious stuff. We cannot do anything religious related. I did a music video for a very prominent band in Pakistan, and for that I designed these banners unke piche lage hue the bade bade, and on the banners I had designed different logos for blindness and for not being able to speak. You know, they were like different things that they were trying to showcase, and corruption and this and that.
Sure.
And they were like, they had a very army-esque kind of feel. So unke paas army stars the, which is a, you know, I think a 6-pointer star, 5-pointer star. And so they had those. So on the day of the shoot, the client, I will not name them, they were a massive, massive international client. The brand team comes to me and says, can you please remove the stars? And I'm like, why? They're like, oh, they look like the Jewish star. I was like, the Jewish star does not even look close to this. They're like, no, but it does. I was like, okay. So you want me to literally, you know, remove something that is stitched on top of this fabric, which is a massive fabric right now. They're like, yes, please. So I started doing that. Thodi der baad, they come to me and they're like, oh, there was a symbol. The international symbol for blindness is half an eye and there's a line through it, right?
Yeah.
They're like, can you remove that? I was like, why? They're like, oh, it looks like the Illuminati eye. And I was like, this looks nothing like the Illuminati.
Oh my goodness.
Like, no, can you please remove it? Because we'll get issues. And I'm like, sure. So you want just plain banners now at the background? Yeah, and I'd spent
on a background.
And by the way, these things were pre-approved. These things were pre-approved by the brand. These things were pre-approved by the client. These things were pre-approved by the agencies. And still this stuff happens. So there are certain things where we do, where we are like that, you know, oh, it's annoying because, you know, it's religion comes into play. Then a lot of these other things come into play. We've had issues where people are like, yeah, where people are like, no, this looks too political. We've had issues where we've been shut down very recently for something that I did for, you know, it being too vulgar, but it's not. It's simply a woman dancing. And, you know, and not like literally ask so many people, is it vulgar? They're like, no, it's not. I don't understand why it is being called vulgar. And it was like a massive television commercial. So you know, there are a lot of things and a lot of hate we get for a lot of things. People are very vicious. So, you know, the biggest challenge, I think, might not even be all these things that are imposed, you know, like the religion and this and that. It's just that you need to have such a thick skin. Because people say the meanest of things and they become so
the internet
personal.
Is not a fun place.
Yeah, but they say stuff like, you know, they will go to your religion and you a bad Muslim and you a bad human being and you, and all over the fact that you just literally answered back by literally saying that, can you explain what you're saying? And they just don't get it. So, you know, so it's just, it's very, so these are the challenges we face, but I won't call them challenges. I find it very cute, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I usually laugh at them and I enjoy them thoroughly. And I'm like, it's a learning process for me.
Sure.
But yeah, it's mostly religious, political, and sometimes, you know, like, oh, vulgarity ho rahi hai zyada ya kya ho raha hai ya hame samajh nahi aa rahi, but otherwise us tarah se kuch nahi hota.
Okay, so and I think that sometimes you even persevere through these, right? Because like, for example, this past March on International Women's Day, we saw the release of that incredible project called Duayrim,
yeah.
Meaning Bride's Prayer. And, you know, the song is kind of like a different take on one of Allama Iqbal's iconic poems, which was becoming kind of more popular throughout the subcontinent during this time. Tell me a little bit about that. How did you get pulled into that project? And what was it like working on it?
So that was a very interesting project, actually. I'm glad you brought it up. So Shoaib Mansoor is one of...
Before you jump into that, let me just give some context for, I guess, the audience. For those people who haven't seen it, if you haven't seen it, it's on YouTube. Please go watch it. It's a great, great video. And basically, it kind of plays on the traditional kind of thinking of what a bride should do in a marriage, in a home with her husband. And it basically is like an older kind of generation saying, whatever the husband does, you just have to take it. And obviously very famous Mahira Khan is the star actress here. She's playing the role of the bride. And she at some point says, no, gets up and basically, you know, puts on the new ideals, or I guess the correct ideals of, it's not all about just taking everything on the chin and, you know, living like that. There is an independence. There is there are rights and kind of, well, I'm losing the words, but she stands up for herself and all women basically in that situation. And it's beautiful. It's a great message. But again, something that in Pakistan can often be regarded by people from conservative mindsets as very controversial, which to us just sounds like this is obviously just common sense. So now that we have some context, Hashim, take it away. How'd you get into it? And I'll let you kind of take it from there.
So basically, a very dear friend of mine, Maram Abrush, Maram Azmat, she basically works with as a female duo, Maram Abru. They're a photographer and makeup artist. And they are probably the only female photographers that we had like a few years back before we all came along. And Maram basically works a lot with Shoaib Mansoor, who is famous for doing movies like Bol, Khuda Ke Liye, and Varna. So he always does movies that are very feminine centric and also very like he says things as they are, so people know him as that. He also did Alpha Bravo Charlie, which was an amazing TV show way back in the 90s about, you know, the Pakistani army and whatnot. So Maram basically asked me that, you know, there's this guy, so Shoaib Mansoor wants to do this thing, so go and meet him. So I met him, and he's a very interesting guy because he's from a generation which is not now current. So he literally makes you do whatever you want to do, so there are no questions asked kind of a thing. And he's very open with his ideas, and he's very protective of his ideas, and he writes the things himself. So it was literally an honor to sit with him and see his process, which was you know, days and nights of just the entire team sitting together. And, you know, he would literally ask you for a meeting, and you will have tea, and you will sit there for, you know, 3 hours, 4 hours, just talking about the project and talking about what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. So he had some great people, not only Myra on board, but he had Fahad Hussain on board, who did the costumes. He had Maram, who did the makeup. We had all these, like, the talent he got on board had a woman who was, I think, above 90 or 95. He was somebody's grandmother. And then all these women that are in the thing as well, some are big activists and lawyers. And then if you see the video, the singers who are sitting there singing, half of them are transgenders. And he never wanted them, like, he never wanted them to look like transgenders. He said he wants them to look like women. And because that is what it is. And that was the beautiful, like, the small detail that he did there, I think, was so beautiful to experience and be a part of, really. And to be honest, in that entire process, why people, I think, also did not take it in any negative sense or anything, because A, it was done very sensitively, yet very, you know, this is how it should be, but this is how it is. Secondly, I think because I always believe this about art, that when you create something with good intention, or when you create something with passion, and whether when you enjoy it, an audience enjoys it. And because he did it with so much passion and so much honest passion, like, there was nothing where he was, you know, there were no ulterior motives about this entire thing. It was a rice commercial. Somebody came to him and they said, we want to do a rice commercial. But he's like, why not let me make this thing for you, you know, because I'd been wanting to do this for some time. So you know, the fact that he did it out of pure love and passion, I think that's why people also saw the passion in it. And I think it, for me, I've always experienced it, that when you do something with complete passion, it actually translates to the user, no matter Absolutely. How different, difficult the things are. Absolutely. So I think that's probably how it worked. And people really did take it very, very well.
Yeah.
And I think just designing that entire space and just working with these people, and you know, it was honestly like Shreya Mansoor, I was starstruck. I've never been starstruck in my life. And Shreya Mansoor is one of those directors whose films I'd seen, because he literally gave a new life to the Pakistani cinema with Khuda Ke Liye and all these films when these films weren't being made. And you know, so it was honestly, I feel honored that I've worked with him.
No, that's incredible. So speaking of starstruck, you also worked with Mahira Khan, and I think you've worked with her on a few other smaller things. So what's that been like? How is it working with one of the biggest celebrities in Pakistan, if not the biggest celebrity in Pakistan?
So Mahira is an amazing person. She's not only, so I worked, this wasn't my first time working with her actually. I think I worked twice with her before on mm-hmm. 2-3 fashion projects. The thing with Mahira is, and where you actually end up seeing a person's heart, is how they treat people below them. And Mahira is honestly one of the biggest stars in Pakistan, and at one point even in Bollywood. And you know, the thing with Mahira is that Mahira does not, she does not have, you know, like a toxic attitude on set. She's the warmest, kindest person there. The best thing about her is, which I remember, I was at a shoot. It was a fashion shoot, and we had a lot of background talent there. And they were also a part of the shoot, and she was obviously the main focus. And every time the photographer would stop clicking, the first thing she would say, turning to the, you know, talent next to her, "Are you okay? Do you want water? Can you please get water for everybody on set?" And I thought that was the most nicest, kindest thing, because she did not need to do that. And she's like, "Ye garmi mein khade mein sabko karein." So you know, when you see a person do all of that, and you know, and she's so dedicated to her craft. And that's why Mahira Khan is Mahira Khan, because she's so dedicated to her craft. She sure. gives it her 100%. Even this shoot, by the way, we started at, I think, 7 p.m. It went on nonstop without a break till Fajr, early morning. Wow. And, you know, so it was quite interesting to see that, you know, how she was dedicated. I think it was cold at that time, it was winters or something. So, you know, and she's wearing this thing which is very heavy, and she's dancing in it.
Right,
and,
right.
and, you know, never cool. once I complaining, just saying, yeah, and just saying, let's do this, let's do that. So you know, it's a joy. And honestly, her and Fawad Khan and all these people, Mehvish Hayat, I worked with most of them, and all of them, they are big names simply because of the heart that they have, and the kind of, like, they work with a team. They don't work as solos. They do not come on set with this energy that, oh, I am me, and you all, you know, just are somebody else. They're literally like, okay, so, you know, tell us what we need to do, and how can we help you in creating your vision?
That's incredible. And I mean, it's great to hear. I think it's refreshing to hear, because honestly, you think of these big stars, and often you hear these stories about how they are on set, you know, whether it's Hollywood actors, Bollywood actors, even some people in Pakistan. But it's great to hear about the biggest names. Literally, we're talking about Fawad Khan, Mahira Khan, who are like the biggest names in Pakistan out here, making sure that other actors who are basically, you know, compared to them, relative nobodies, making sure they're getting taken care of, and that they are getting everything that they need. So that's,
and not only not only just actors, but just like your spot boy,
right?
Or you know, just seeing that this person's running around with an umbrella next to me, why is he doing that in the heat? And secondly, just saying, just stopping and saying, okay, have you had anything to drink?
Right.
You know, so, or have, can you sit down? And why haven't they had food? So, you know, it says a lot about a person.
Yeah, it says a lot about a person, you know, when they're treating people that they don't have to treat like that, with kindness.
And of course, people do hear these stories about these big actors and everybody that, oh, they're like this, they're like that. But to be honest, I think it's not them. It's probably the situation and where they are, because there are shoots which are so hectic, where right. we also want to say something like, please, can you just stop? But we can't. So they, when they say stop, or when they want to say something, they actually say it for the entire team, not themselves.
Right.
But simply because they can, so they do.
That's
so they don't exploit their power. They actually use it to help people. And honestly, I believe in the goodness in the world and everything. And I believe Allah mein deta hi hota hai jab aap kisi aap duniya mein utna phenkte ho, you know? Bure logon ke saath bura hi hota hai, acche logon ke saath acha hota hai.
Yep. No, that's a good point. And I think that's probably true. At the end of the day, we're just up, you know, we're on the outside looking in. The media can pretty much, you know, structure things however they want. Okay, I've taken up a lot of your time. So I really want to kind of bring it back to how we can help here as Pakistani Americans. So, you know, you've done some amazing, beautiful work and you've been recognized for some of it, including by being called one of 12 Pakistani production designers to follow by Diva Online. And, you know, recognition isn't, we talked about this at the very beginning, recognition isn't always common in this career path. Mm-hmm. This career path isn't that common to begin with in Pakistan. Mm-hmm. So now that you've kind of, you know, garnered a little bit of success and you've kind of gained some traction and gotten recognition for this role and also your work, what are some things that, you know, are still missing in terms of representation and recognition in Pakistan for this line of work? And what can people who are abroad, because look, although we sit in the US and, you know, we live very American-centric lives, there's a huge generation, all, you know, my generation, that is raised in two worlds. One with, you know, very American kind of ideals, but at home, we are 100% Pakistani. My parents, still to this day, do not watch American television. They only watch whatever they can, you know, get their hands on in terms of GEO, ARY, et cetera. So what can we do, you know, in the US? How can we kind of help disseminate these art forms, these whether it's music, what videos, whether it's movies, what more can we do to help you guys get better representation, you know, outside of Pakistan?
I to be very honest, first when you do it in Pakistan. I mean, because it's, to be very honest, I think one thing that I really wish can happen, and it's not about the reward or the award, it is actually about recognition. I think we need creative art awards, award shows in Pakistan, because usse hota kya hai ki people who don't know these fields exist because they are not, I mean, because of social media, it's actually become very easy now to see what happens. But now, even now, I feel that if you have award shows that kind of recognize, you know, excellence in cinematography or excellence in costume design, excellence in styling, excellence in creative direction, you know, like, you even with the Emmys, you have that. So you have that for TV, you have that for film, you have that for fashion. I think it will make a huge difference, you know, because the thing is that because people are not recognized, so people don't know these fields exist. The only reason why people actually started getting more into art direction was, thankfully, I was nominated once for an award that wasn't even mine, and as an art director. So, you know, so Diva magazine was and a lot of these magazines that used to work with me really pushed me for an award show, Hum Style Awards, that, you know, give your thing in for emerging talent. I know there's no category, but just give it in so that, you know, and I gave it. I knew I would never win. I knew there's no future for this, but I just knew that, you know, those five people who want to do art direction but think it doesn't exist, or bas banda rulta hai aur usme paise nahi hote, will know that, oh, if somebody's getting nominated, that means it's big. You know, I can get nominated next.
Right.
So, you know, so I if we have that, there will be a lot of people who look up to this, so that a lot of recognition starts happening in Pakistan. If it happens in Pakistan, I honestly think automatically, jo hamare bahar ke jo hamare international citizens, and they actually are much more, they give a much more recognition to the arts in Pakistan anyways, because they know the importance of the arts.
Absolutely.
And what it takes to build things, and it's not just a one-man show. So I personally feel that first in Pakistan we need to do this, and then slowly, I mean, what you guys are already doing, the fact that I'm talking to you right now is a big thing as well, that, you know, that you guys saw the importance of talking to somebody who does art. And, you know, I have talked with the people, but, you know, just the fact that people recognize that, and you guys are looking at it from the outside inside, that, you know, there's so much happening there. So I wish you guys do more interviews of people who are art directors, who are into, I don't know, costume design, or into styling, or makeup artists, and, you know, who are special effect makeup artists. I did not know we have that in Pakistan. We have amazing special effects makeup artists in Pakistan, and young people. And they're amazing. I worked with this girl on a music video recently, and she was doing the basic makeup, you know, just like a normal base and hair and this and that. And I said, oh, I want these bruises for one of the scenes. It was an army scene, and it was like a war scene. And she's like, oh, I can easily do it. And I was like, I'm very cynical. So I was like, oh, are you sure? And she's like, this is what I actually do. She said, this is what I actually do. And she showed me her page, and I was like, wow. You do this? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, I'm inside Pakistan in the industry, and I don't know this.
Yeah.
And amazing work. So, you know, so we have a lot of people who do this. There's so many people. We have digital artists, for God's sake. We have so many things happening in Pakistan, but simply because they don't get the recognition or they don't come forward. Because it takes, honestly, a lot of guts to do that. And, you know, when you're constantly being told, no, we don't want this. This is not pretty. Or this is, sorry, or this is not that. This is not that. So, you know, it takes a lot of guts. So I just, if you guys keep on doing more interviews of such people, if you start talking to more people, I think that'll be a great thing, because that is giving them recognition and a voice and a platform.
I think we've stumbled upon an opportunity here, because clearly there's all these kind of different pieces that go into making all these things work. And I would be happy to interview everyone and kind of learn more about their experiences and just learn more about these people in general and all and their journey into their respective roles, because I think that's really what this is all about. So Thank you for letting me know about that, because I think we're going to talk after this and figure out a way to make that happen.
Sure.
What we thought as well. You know, this podcast started off, honestly, we did our first season just on Bollywood, and our plan was always, okay, first season Bollywood, second season, we're going to focus on Pakistani media. And this season has been enlightening. Like, I knew a lot about Pakistani media in terms of art and music, or sorry, movies, music, etc. But I've learned so much about the industries, the people involved, the journeys that they go in. And even talking to you, I'm hearing a lot of the same kind of the struggles, but also the promise that we're kind of looking for and that we're seeing in the last, especially last 10, 20 years in Pakistan, as it started to progress and really gotten, it's blown up, really. All the different things we talked about, fashion blowing up, you know, all these things are kind of coming to the forefront. So that's fantastic. Any closing thoughts, anything you'd like to say, I guess, before I let you go?
I don't think so. I think we really talked about a lot of stuff. Yeah, but I honestly think it's a great thing you guys are doing, because I have a lot of friends who, when you were mentioning it, I have a lot of cousins and everybody who's kind of who don't live in Pakistan. So I know that when people listen to Pakistan and what's happening in Pakistan, they do get a lot of, you know, like, I wouldn't say homesick, but almost like, you know, like it's us, it's our country, and this is so, it's almost like a pride. So, right. You know, so, and I think we need that pride right now in positivity and pride and being, you know, more, because I think what's beautiful about your page is that, you know, you guys talk about desi stuff, which is, you know, which is essentially us. And right. You don't say that it's Pakistan or India, you say it's us, you know? So right. I think that's the beauty of this thing. And that is what needs to happen more, so that people feel proud of their heritage and their culture and traditions. Right. So I think it's great what you guys are doing. So I hope you continue to do this, and I hope you bring on more people from Pakistan, and, you know, you guys, and creative people, and you know, writers. We have so many writers. So, you know, you just hearing them out and seeing their stories, and you'll see that a lot of the stories are similar, but also extremely diverse.
No, absolutely. I'm very excited. I actually think that this is a great platform to use to do just this, that, and I want to hear their stories. I mean, I'm very interested to kind of meet these people, and thank you so much for those kind words. I think that we're trying our best, you know, but it's always great to hear from.
Yeah, of course, we all are. Yeah.
All right. Well, I've taken up enough of your time. I think we've talked about a lot of different things here, but thank you so much for coming on, sharing your experience. I learned so much in the last half hour, just about our direction in Pakistan and the difficulties that you might have faced coming in, but also I kind of see the direction that you're going in and what your vision is for the future, not just for yourself, but for the industry at large. And I think that's great. So thanks so much. This will obviously go on Instagram, and, you know, feel free to share it with whoever, but pleasure. And hopefully we get to maybe meet in person soon and do this over chai.
Sure. Once the COVID situation is a bit down, we are able to travel.
Once the world goes
and
back,
I'll meet you somewhere. That is not Dubai. So
hopefully not Dubai. You know what, I'll come to Lahore. It's been a long time since I've been back, so it's about time for me to come back.
Why not? You're more than welcome.
Awesome. All right, thanks, Hashim.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me, and good luck.
Thank you.